Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Swanson. Welcome to Generations. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators of Colorado. But the reason I'm on the air, I'm a father of five. My son Daniel in studio with us today, as well as Derek Buhner, and Dave is here as well. You've heard it 100 times. If you heard it once, I hear this all the time. You're sitting around the dinner table with some Christian family, and some guy announces, I'm sending my 9-year-old into the jungles of New Guinea to minister to headhunting cannibals. He's leaving on Monday. We've packed his suitcases. He's off. And you're sitting there thinking, this sounds so holy. This sounds so pietistic. You'd feel like a heel to criticize this guy for sending his 9-year-old on a plane into New Guinea. But you're still wondering, why isn't he going with him? You know, why would he send his son into an environment that is more dangerous than the environment in which he operates and works every day? Well, y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? In the paper today, Dave, you saw this. The paper today, Westminster schools had 685 assaults this year so far, and Christmas isn't over yet. 685 assaults in the Westminster schools. And now, how many assaults did they have in Lockheed Martin this year?
Two.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking. Two. So why would a father send his daughter into an environment that's far more dangerous than the environment in which he works? The answer is obvious. To preach the gospel. Right? To be salt and light. You take your 13-year-old and you send her into the Westminster schools to be salt and light. The obvious answer is, your daughter is going to preach the gospel. Now, I've got a couple of issues with this. You want to hear what they are? First issue, why doesn't dad go with her? Because he's working at Lockheed Martin. I think that's the answer. But I would think that dad or mom should go with her. And, here's my WWJD bracelet. What is this? Oh, it reminds me again to ask the question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Was Jesus preaching the gospel to prostitutes and publicans when he was 11 years old? He was, wasn't he? He had his ministry going at 11, I think.
No, it was 12, and it was to the priests.
To the priests. Okay, he was in the temple. He was in the temple at 12. Actually, wasn't really ready till he was 30, as it turns out. He's ready for ministry at 30.
So, Kevin, you're saying I probably shouldn't take my 6-month-old into the daycare to evangelize the other babies?
Not yet. And there's a couple of reasons why. You know what they are? She's not potty trained yet. That would be one. She's not physically, spiritually, emotionally prepared. Right? I mean, there's something in the way here. There's something that's got to happen before the 9-year-old ministers to the headhunters and the witch doctors in Africa. Right? What's in the way? What do we have to get over first? Maybe some training? Maybe some spiritual maturation? And here's the other thing. You send your 11-year-old daughter into some public school to be salt and light. What exactly is she doing 99.999% of the time that she's in public schools? What is she doing? You sent her there to be salt and light. 99.999% of the time, she's preaching the gospel. No. No. Somebody else is preaching the gospel to her. She gets secular humanist trained teachers. She has secular humanist textbooks. She is getting a foreign worldview. The Bible says that when you get imaginations that raise itself up against the knowledge of God in Christ, you're to throw down those imaginations. Now, in public schools today, it should be no new news to anybody. Public schools are teaching naturalist humanism, evolutionism, ethical relativism, egalitarianism, polytheism. Now, what 12-year-old can spell those words, let alone discern when she's getting a little bit of naturalist materialism? Now, if she's spiritually, intellectually prepared to take on these ideas, and she's willing to cast down these imaginations, then I say, send her into the jungles as a missionary. The great Christian reformer Martin Luther. This is not Martin Luther King, for those of you trained in public schools.
This was the other Martin Luther.
This is the other Martin Luther. He showed up 500 years ago. He wrote, "I am much afraid that schools will prove to be great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures," which isn't happening in Westminster schools, last time I checked. "I am much afraid that schools will prove to be great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount," which they don't in Westminster schools. "Every institution in which men are not unceasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt," which happened in the Westminster schools. This man had a gift of prophecy. He's talking about the public schools. Now, we would love to interview Martin Luther today, but we're having a hard time getting in touch with him.
He's already booked.
He's booked. Coming up, though, we're going to talk to Raymond Moore from Exodus Mandate. He's on the line with us, and we're going to ask Raymond Moore the question, are 10-year-old children ready to be missionaries? We'll be back in just a moment on Generations. Stay with us, folks. Folks, we're back. This is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Thanks for joining us today. And today we have Raymond Moore online with us. He is director of the Exodus Mandate, author of the book Let My Children Go, Why Parents Must Remove Their Children from Public Schools Now. And now is capitalized. Raymond Moore, welcome to Generations.
Good to be on the show with you.
And Ray, you know, you've been on this campaign for quite some time. Why did you start the Exodus Mandate?
Well, we ourselves were a homeschooling family. We homeschooled about 17 years. Usually we took our children up to middle school, and then we put them in a private Christian school was sort of our plan. And we were early homeschoolers. I've got four grown children now and three grandchildren. And we just really saw the blessing and benefit that a thoroughly Bible-based Christian education, homeschooling, and then later private Christian schools with our own family. And then we began to realize the devastation and harm that was coming to the church, to Christian families through public schooling, and secondarily also the damage that's being done to our national life and psyche through public schools. So that was sort of the background, and we've been actually officially on this program about 8 years. We launched in November 1, 1997, publicly, even though we had been advocating some of these principles, at a limited scale before that.
All right, I want to talk to the issue of Christians, good families out there that send their children to public schools. We've got a lot of data. In fact, just recently the newspaper came out and said schools are dangerous, 675 assaults in this school district, 600 assaults in that school district in every year. Schools are dangerous. We've got the drug issue, the promiscuity issue that's raging through the schools today. You've got the secular humanism that's in the textbooks. Why are Christian families sending their children to public schools? What are you hearing?
Well, the number one error that Christians hold that allows them to justify putting their children in public or government schools, we prefer to say, is a misapplication of the salt and light idea or teaching.
Okay.
And they say they're sending their children into these schools to be salt and light and to be missionaries. And that's the number one issue that we have to deal with. We have to confront that constantly with born-again Christians. 80% of evangelical Christians in America still have their children in these schools. So that's our number one problem, and we do confront it head on. We think it's pretty easy to dismantle it, but it does, it is the thing that confuses people the most.
Now, when Christian parents say they are sending their 7-year-old into a school to be a missionary to those children, to be salt and light before the teachers, are they really serious? Ray, do you think that they really expect their children to be missionaries?
I believe some are sincere. I do believe they are a distinct minority among those who advocate that. I believe the vast majority who use the salt and light argument use it as a covering for slothfulness and lack of faithfulness and dependability and concern for their children. Most Christians, when they get ready to disobey God or do something wrong, they look for a biblical reason to do it. It's a misapplication of some scriptural concept, and I believe this is a classic one. The way we confront it briefly is that we say the salt and light idea is a valid idea but misapplied to little children at the K through 12 level, because the public schools are, by definition and practice now, godless, pagan, and humanistic schools. They're anti-Christian in practice and design. And so the children are being put under false doctrine, false teaching, and put in harm's way. And the scripture very, very clearly forbids this for believers. 2 Corinthians 6:14, not being unequally yoked together. Colossians 2:8, Deuteronomy 6:1-9. There are just multiple texts that deal with the education of children belonging to the family, being given by God to the family with assistance from the church, and that the state or government has no God-ordained authority to be educating children at the K through 12 level. They're violating the Word of God by running these schools, and Christian families are violating Scripture by placing their children in them.
Yeah, there's another aspect to this, Ray, I'd like you to comment on, and that is the purpose for schools. I have seen mission statements for schools. I have never yet seen in a mission statement, we are trying to provide an environment, an opportunity for children to come in here and evangelize each other. I don't see that as the purpose for those institutions we call schools. And what is the purpose of education? Why are we sending our children to school? Are we sending them to evangelize, or are we sending them for a different reason? What's the purpose?
Well, I think it's an excuse, as I said earlier, a primary excuse. I do occasionally, though, come across Christian families who very sincerely hold that view, and sometimes they can be more easily persuaded than the ones who are slothful and lazy parents who use it as an excuse, because they seem to really want to do the right thing and want to serve God. If you can show them scripturally that they're in violation of scripture, many of those will correct themselves.
Yeah. Now, some people are going to come back and say, you know, there are children out there, and typically 16, 17, 18-year-old children that are in public schools. They go to these schools. They're Christian kids. They're committed to Jesus Christ. They wear their Jesus is Lord t-shirt. They organize Bible studies on campus. Is this the exception or the rule? And what's your comment on that?
Well, I think there's some groups that work in public schools with the older children, trying to reach children for Christ. There is some effectiveness. I think there's some cases of success. We still think the pattern that they use violates a greater scriptural principle. We think most of the evangelism goes the other way. We have documentation from the Nehemiah Institute, Barna Research, all these groups showing that the public schools are wearing down our Christian children and turning them away from the Lord. So we think most of the conversion is going against the church, not for it. But I'm sure there are some cases where some children are won to Christ through outreach in the public schools. I don't want to diminish that, but I do think it would. God is great. He's sovereign. He could accomplish those same purposes in another way.
I'm thankful that I was homeschooled in the 60s and 70s. I remember one thing my mother told me before I went off to secular college. She said, if more of them is wearing off on you than you is wearing off on them, you're in the wrong place. And I think that's something that a lot of Christians need to take to heart these days. But what do you recommend? You've been advocating the Exodus mandate, let my children go, get them out of Egypt. Where do they go? What's the promised
land?
Well,
we think homeschooling is the best program by far. We do think some of the Christian schools are even capitulating to some of the same bad policies that are in public schools. Some of the same issues of peer dependency, conformity to worldliness, some of these things are going on in our private Christian schools that don't go on in our homeschooling situation. So we strongly believe in homeschooling, but of course the Exodus mandate is working to get the children out, and we think some families will unlikely to homeschool in every case, and they might put their children in a private Christian school. And we, so we want to help the private Christian schools be better. We recently launched a program called Homeschooling Family to Family. And that's the webpage is that exact name, homeschoolingfamilytofamily.org. And it's an aggressive plan to recruit and mentor a million new children into Christian Bible-based homeschooling in the next 5 to 7 years. So we're basically a mentoring program trying to get experienced and seasoned Christian homeschool families to get out and recruit and then mentor one family a year. There are several hundred thousand homeschooling Christian families in America now, and if just a few thousands of those would aggressively promote homeschooling to their family, friends, and neighbors and fellow church members, we would see a great increase in homeschooling.
Ray, I caught that on your website just this morning. By the way, folks, we're speaking with Raymond Moore of the Exodus Mandate, and this homeschooling family-to-family initiative is really interesting. It's sort of a switch here. We're switching from encouraging our children to be missionaries and evangelizing other children to asking families to be missionaries to other families, encouraging families to disciple their children at home instead of sending their children to public schools. So this is sort of an interesting twist here. You're encouraging families to evangelize other families in this homeschooling lifestyle.
With 80% of our fellow born-again Christians still in public schools, one of the greatest mission fields that Christians have is to their fellow Christians, because these children are being positively harmed by public education. And many of the families are just ignorant of it or living in denial. So Christians who are successful in homeschooling need to really become intentional and aggressive in reaching their fellow Christians and whose children are in harm's way. We've got to have compassion on our fellow church members who are caught in the bondage of these public schools. So that's what homeschooling family to family is about.
And Ray, how do they do that? How do you approach another family? What are you going to say to a family whose children are attending public schools? You're sitting around the dinner table with them. You want to say something. How do they do that?
Well, strangely, a lot of it's just informal, over the backyard fence, or sometimes the family doesn't need to be terribly aggressive because of the success of homeschooling today. In our churches, many of our fellow Christians who have their children still in public schools look at our families with sort of a godly envy, and they say, we would like to have that in our family. So sometimes they come to us. In the old days, it used to be that the people would ask us when we were homeschooling, when they would get over the shock of discovering it, those old hands, they would say, they let you do that, meaning the government. And then the second question was always, aren't you worried about socialization? Well, today we tell people to say to them, God lets you do that. The tables have turned on people who are public schooling. And then we can say to them, aren't you worried about socialization? This is where the reality is now. The public schools are so toxic and harmful. And all Americans know this now. Even the liberals recognize the system is failing and breaking down.
Ray, I love your vision. You mentioned the church a few times, and I just want your comment briefly before we end the broadcast today on the church. How much are the churches beginning to shepherd families away from secular humanism and the secular humanist institutions of education, the K-12 education programs today?
Well, I have 30 years in pastoral ministry as a congregational minister and Army chaplain. I'm a retired Army chaplain, and I'm sad to report that the Christian clergy are lagging behind in this. Pastors are not speaking out on this enough. Many of them are afraid to speak out because they have so many public school families in their churches, and they don't want to speak out and offend anybody and perhaps lose their jobs. This is an idol. And when you attack or expose people's idolatry, they react very, very strongly. Public schooling is an idol to many, many Christians. So we have really got to strengthen the pastors and churches. If you have a pastor in your church and you're in my voice, You need to encourage him to stand firm and give him books and materials to read so that he'll speak out on the pulpit and try to lead the families in his congregation out of the harm's way of public education. And it just grieves me to have to, you know, say that publicly, but I believe it's the case. Many of our larger Christian ministries, they are fighting the symptoms of a Christ-rejecting culture, fighting against symptoms like abortion and gambling and pornography, and these are being caused by six generations of public schooling in America, where we have educated six and seven generations of people away from God. And as we say in the South, it's better to drain the swamp than to fight the mosquitoes. And so if we really want to fix pornography, let's get rid of public education and let's start homeschooling our kids and in some cases put them in private Christian schools. That will change the culture and it will create a new kind of citizen and a new kind of person in America. These home products of homeschooling, young men like yourself, I've got four adult children who are homeschooled, all walking with the Lord, faithful in their work and professions, outstanding young men and women. And there's a different breed, a different generation. Some of us old ones are going to fail, but I believe the young generation that are coming up now being homeschooled, they're the ones that can go in and really take the promised land.
And Ray, I got to say, God is doing something in this nation. There are 2 million of these homeschooled children across the fruited plains today. God is at work. God is doing something. And we appreciate your heart and your ministry, Ray, for what you've been doing with Exodus Mandate all these years.
Thank you.
Folks, that's homeschoolingfamilytofamily.org. Raymond Moore, author of Let My Children Go. In a moment, I'm going to give you information about a very important seminar coming up on home education. That next on Generations. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Swanson. We are back. The program is Generations, and if God has spoken to your heart with this program, He may be encouraging you to either bring your children into a homeschool environment or encourage others to do the same thing. And that's why CHECK, Christian Home Educators of Colorado, produces an introductory seminar. I want to encourage you to sign up for these seminars. One will be in Colorado Springs, the other in Denver. And you can check out these seminars at www.check.org on the web. The seminar is comprehensive. It goes over how to homeschool, reasons to homeschool, factors of success, issues like special needs, how to homeschool through the high school, and the Colorado homeschool law. Again, check it out at www.check.org or call 877-842-CHECK. You can interact with this program by emailing me, kevin@check.org. That's kevin@check.org. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Get some friends and family members listening to this program at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.